Hello, and thank you for listening. We gather with joy and thanksgiving. We do so because Jesus is alive and well. Because Jesus is alive, we do not endure life, we have abundant life. Because Jesus is alive, we live a hope the world cannot understand. Because Jesus is alive, life is truly worth living.
This morning, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, we want to invite you to join in the first verse of two very familiar hymns, My Hope is Built, and There's Within My Heart a Melody. Let's all sing together.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are still alive. We praise you that regardless of any circumstance, from individual life to the world stage, you have defeated every enemy. We thank you that because you defeated death and sin through the resurrection of Jesus, we are able to trust you with all of our life, and we worship you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Sally will now play a song that is special to many, celebrating our hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Thank you.
scripture lesson is Luke 24, verses 28 through 35. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Charles Swindoll describes a photograph. It's a picture of the familiar yellow dead end sign. What made this particular photograph unique was underneath the words "dead end" were spray painted "what isn't," such is the condition of many hearts and attitudes. If the truth was known, there may be some listening right now with such a sign on their heart. Life is just one dead end after another. There's no use in being enthusiastic about anything. There's no need celebrating anything. Yes, some roads are longer than others, but they all eventually dead end. Personally, I cannot imagine such an existence. But such is the mood among many in our neighborhoods, our families, and even church congregations. I was talking with another pastor one day when I served in another part of the state. Preachers compare victories and war stories, as does any other group of persons in the same vocation. This pastor was serving a congregation that had loved a previous pastor dearly. One day a lady came to the office of the preacher telling me the story, and she came into the office with one purpose, and her purpose was to give him what for? To chew him out. As she was doing so, she said, "Ever since Pastor X, it's just been one blank preacher after another." Only she filled in the blank. And in many ways, her feelings were justified. The pastor immediately preceding the one who was telling me this story had to resign under moral charges. The congregation had experienced additional difficult times. And now they had the mopes. There are times when disappointments or stress factors come at us in such rapid fire, we don't feel like we could handle one more. So we mope. It is better to mope than to be disappointed. At least our mood will be consistent. Now, it's not my place to tell another person how they should feel. But as for me, I'd rather be like the Little League baseball player. The author conveyed how one day on his way home from work, he stopped by a Little League baseball game, and he sat on the first base side. And he asked one of the little boys to score, and The little boy replied, "We're behind 14-0. To which the author replied, the boy didn't look discouraged, and so the gentleman said that to him. To which the little boy responded, "Why should we be discouraged? We haven't been up to bat yet." Now that's attitude. That's confidence. That's hope, regardless of the apparent odds. What an attitude to have toward life. But such an attitude toward life is not available outside a positive relationship with the resurrected Lord. But I can't help but wonder this morning, how many congregations, how many church members need to be converted? Have you been converted? You may be saved in the traditional sense of the term. You know your sins are forgiven. You know that when you die, you are going to heaven. And this is important to say the very least. However, the question still remains, have you been converted? I believe that it is possible to be saved without being converted. Now, John, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, we can have that place in our life where we came to Jesus and we knew that the only way that we go to heaven is through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And we acknowledged our sins and we sought and received the forgiveness of those sins. And we truly do believe in Jesus Christ. And so we know, as we have received that forgiveness from Jesus, that when we die, we will go to heaven. But the issue is whether we have grown to that place where the reality of the resurrected Christ is so certain for us that we are able to trust our entire life, good, bad, or mundane, to Jesus. When we completely trust and obey Jesus, we experience the joy, the power, the peace, the purpose in life that Jesus intends for us. In his book, This Incredible Century, talking about the 20th century at that time, the late Dr. Norman Vincent Peale wrote how he was converted after he was a pastor. Most pastors will tell you that our spouse is our strongest ally. Our spouse is our number one supporter. Our spouse knows us better than anyone besides God. Hence, they can also be our toughest critic. They can also be our most accurate critic. Mrs. Peale was no exception. As a young man, Dr. Peale was recognized as an extraordinary preacher, and he accepted the position of pastor at a large church in New York. He wrote that he was also very despondent. He was serving a church whose facility, whose sanctuary, could seat 1,600. He was averaging 200 in attendance. The sparse attendance in this location, compounded by the financial strains and the maintenance cost alone, had just become too much. The pills were on vacation. Then he was expressing his feelings about the situation to Mrs. Peel. Now, odds are this was not the first time she had heard this lament. She decided she had heard enough. And she looked Dr. Peel in the eye and she told him, "You need to be converted." Now, he was taken aback by this assertion. But after regaining his composure, the two discussed the issue. And he confessed and prayed that he could not fulfill the needs and demands of the ministry or even life in general on his own. He had to be energized by the strength of Christ, and he had to be led by the guidance of Christ. He writes that he was a changed man. The pills went home the next day. He began a brand new ministry in the old location. And as the saying goes, and the rest is history. So it is with many Christians. Are our sins forgiven? Yes. Are we going to heaven? Yes. Even so, many times we need a conversion of attitude. We need a conversion of outlook. To be blunt, there are many Christians and many church members who are saved, but their attitude is awful. Their attitude is awful because the resurrected Lord is not a reality in their lives in the here and the now. Would you consider a thought? If we are truly convinced that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is alive and active in our daily lives, how can we have a negative attitude? I don't think we can. During Easter afternoon and early evening, two disciples were walking to a little town called Emmaus. When they were in Jerusalem, they had witnessed the crucifixion and they had heard the stories of the supposed resurrection. Their walk was like a funeral procession. They were overwhelmed with the weight of grief, disappointment, despair, hopelessness. Is it not easy to respond to life as did these two disciples? We've heard the stories of the resurrection. We even celebrated Easter Sunday a couple of weeks ago. Then we went back to the real world. We re-entered the world of bills and bosses, difficult clients, kids and crisis, doctors and COVID. And on it goes. Too often, once we get back into the thick of everyday life, we get the mopes. As we are bombarded by the various responsibilities and demands and heartaches of daily life, it's tempting to mope. Our eyes see the obstacles, and we quickly lose the sense of the reality of the resurrection. Doing so, we easily become tired and frustrated. Dr. Peel was tired and frustrated when he allowed Jesus to become the source of his strength and vision. He stopped moping. The two disciples moped their way to Emmaus, burdened by the weight of lost hopes, broken dreams, and vanished visions. Upon recognizing the risen Lord, they immediately got up and went back to Jerusalem. One commentator speculates that the two who moped to Emmaus sprinted back to Jerusalem. They sprinted, if this speculation is accurate, because they were now energized spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. We are entering a new week. A week that will likely be a mixture of joy and sorrow, frustration and celebration. Some dynamics will be the direct result of our decisions and actions. Much of our current situation is completely beyond our control. How will we respond? Well, none of us knows for sure. But I can, however, offer some generalities that I have witnessed during my experience as a pastor with individuals and families. Typically, those who experience a personal relationship with the risen Lord respond in gratitude when life is going their way. They thank the Lord for blessing their efforts or seeing them through a difficult time. This person will often genuinely feel and say, "I have far more than I deserve." Those who do not experience a personal relationship with the risen Lord tend to credit themselves with their successes. They clench with a tight fist whatever they receive, be it financially, status, or in any other form. When life turns sour, those who experience a personal relationship with the risen Lord, they grieve. And sometimes they question. But even in the midst of grief and questions, they maintain a hope and assurance that defies logic and explanation. Those who do not experience this personal relationship are blown away. When life kicks us in the teeth, we quickly realize where we have placed our trust and hope. If we have placed our trust and hope in the sinking sands of self, in whatever form, we fall. If we've placed our trust in Jesus, even though we grieve, we hope. Even though we may be beaten down, we strive on. We strive on praising God for God's presence and strength, enabling us to keep on when all logical indicators point to giving up. And when all is well again, we live in praise and gratitude for God's blessings. So I simply ask you, are you moping or are you sprinting? We can trade in the chains of the mopes for the running shoes of faith. When we do, we will be converted. And being converted, we will experience a perpetual hope through the risen, victorious, always loving, always present Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, Thank you for your love and your salvation. Thank you that if we have asked for your forgiveness, you have granted it. And thus, we know we are going to heaven. But Lord, we want to live life to its fullest in the time that we're given on this earth. And so, gracious Lord, I just pray for myself and for anyone who is listening and agrees with the prayer that we would grow to that place where we would be 100% thoroughly convinced of your resurrection and your presence. And thus, when life is good, we are praising you and thanking you. And when life is hard, we're trusting you in hope and assurance, regardless of what the indicators would point to. And so, Lord, you know where each of us are in our journey with you. Strengthen our belief in your resurrection. Not a belief of the head, but a belief of the heart. That whether life is pleasant or life is hard, we know, we are convinced that you are with us so that we will not mope through life, but we will sprint through life. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.